As many of you know, when I was a young priest, I worked in a soup kitchen in another city long ago. And one day at the soup kitchen, a man showed up who was an affable, friendly guy. And I'll call him William. I'm changing a few things in the story. But essentially, this is how it came down. William came and he told a story of woe. I got to talking with him one night, again, kind of affable and gregarious. He and his wife had owned a small business. It was they sharpened knives and they fixed small motors like lawnmowers and that kind of thing. Well, one day, according to William, she just up and left him. He had no idea why. And in the divorce that followed, they had to sell the business. They had really no other equity. So they had to sell their business and their home. And he was left with nothing, and he was crushed. And he blew through whatever savings he had gotten from the divorce, and he had ended up in the streets. He's pretty bitter toward the woman that he had been married to, pretty bitter towards life. And I tell you that this story because he would tell you. In fact, he told everybody. He told everybody every chance he had, every time that he saw him. This is a story that I got to know pretty well. In the years that he had been on the streets, he had also started to drink. I never saw him really fall down drunk, but he always smelled of alcohol and drink. And I always said, you know, he had some great talents. You know, he had run a business. He had some talents. And I always said, George, you don't need to be here. And he would say, William, you don't need to be here. He'd say, oh, well, there we go. If you're watching on the internet, I really apologize. I don't think he'd mind. Because I did ask him if I could tell the story. He actually is kind of proud of it. You'll see why. He said, the line was, too old to hire, too young to retire. And that's just the line that he used to avoid talk of a job or talk of rebuilding. And he occasionally would ask for help. He'd say, could you loan me a little bit of money to get to the end of the month? And you know what? I just never could do it because the money wasn't going to help him. And in fact, the money might have been something that had taken him a first couple steps closer to the tomb. One night, he got beat up, not badly, but enough to really scare him. And he came and he sat on the front porch and we talked for a long time. And he said he was ready. He was ready to put this behind him. He was ready to start again. And it was either that or he had to die. He was either going to just have to die or he was going to have to start over. And that was a beautiful moment. It's a beautiful moment when somebody's ready to do what they need to do. That was the moment when he sobered up so he could come and live with us. He lived with us in our shelter. He got he started working a program and doing the things and got people to help and finally worked through the story and started working through his story in a way that he began to understand why the woman had left him and began to admit and see the things that had happened that were his. And that he wasn't completely a victim in it, and even worked to a point of a kind of forgiveness. Took some classes to kind of learn formally what he had picked up on his own. And in the course of a couple months, that man had a new job, and in a few months he had enough money saved up and he could move on. He had been in the tomb, and he was circumstances brought him to a point where he was ready to receive the grace and the gifts that God had been trying to give him and offer him for so very long. I've seen many people on the road to the tomb. I've worked with many people in the tomb. And the story almost always has something parallel or connected to the story that we heard in the gospel here today. Jesus knows that Lazarus is in trouble. He knows that Lazarus is sick. Why didn't he do something? That used to bother me quite a lot. If he knew his friend was suffering, why would he not go? Hold that question. The second question that came up for me is, what was Lazarus, what had led Lazarus to the tomb? What was it that had brought him to the tomb? We don't really know that, other than it was illness. And maybe it was simply illness. But it seems to be a death that doesn't seem to be in tune with the timing of God. And so often, We can be drawn into ways of life. We can be drawn into, we can develop habits. We can cling to things that will lead us in a path away from life, that will lead us in a path of darkness and a path of even death. Sometimes that can be a physical death. It can be habits that endanger our heart or our lungs or our mind. It can be, you know, drinking, smoking, being overweight, and all those things that can be things that are putting us on a path toward a kind of death, a physical death. There are other things that are just soul debilitating and spirit debilitating, things that we can carry with us that that eat away and take away life. Grudges can do that. Taking a grudge and just holding on to it and clinging to it and nursing it and holding on to it. And that anger can keep us from being the people we are, keep us from being happy. In fact, this is kind of, I was thinking the other day, you know that happy song? I was sitting in my room praying and I looked up and I thought, I wonder if all my rooms are miserable and unhappy because they have a roof. You know, because there's that line, if you're happy like a room without a roof. Anyway. Hopefully not, because grudges are never good. There are things that can lead us to a place, expectations. We can cling to expectations of our own life, ideas of what success should have been or should be, that can be things that are essentially leading us away from life. We can expect expectations of others. So often when people don't perform, when they aren't the people we expect that they should be, the parents we expected they should have been, the children, the spouses that we expect, then we can become deadened to the appreciation of the people that they are. Pride can lead us to such a place, a spiritual route of death, a pride that keeps us from admitting the ways that we need help, a pride that keeps us from addressing the things in our life that are really destructive towards ourselves or towards others. Neglect of relationship, overwork, all these things. But especially, I think, the things that can lead us on that road or that path toward the tomb are the things that sneak up on us, our blind spots. They're the things that we don't recognize in our own life or behavior that may actually be taking us away from life. It could be anger. It could be the ways that we deny the effect that a habit or something has or another action or habitual activity has in our life. The blind spot. And then secrets. The thing that is unacknowledged and unreconciled and kept deeply buried. Secrets. All of these put us on the road to the tomb. Don't know why Lazarus was in the tomb. Don't know why he had come to that point. But something untimely had led Lazarus to the place of the tomb. Now back to Jesus. Why did he allow it? The Gospel of John, as the Gospel of John does so often, says it's for the glory of God. And Jesus is absolutely confident in resurrections. Jesus is absolutely confident that whatever suffering that Lazarus has been through is going to be completely overshadowed, is going to be completely overwhelmed by the glory that comes from the resurrections that will take place in the future. That might be one reason, and that's surely part of the reason that Jesus didn't do something about it. But the second reason might be, because Jesus was actually powerless. That Jesus really didn't have the ability to change until Lazarus was really at the point where he had died to something, where he was really ready to let go of something, where he was really ready to put something behind him. Because so often, that's exactly what needs to take place before we can really see real transformation in our own lives and in the transformation of other people's lives. That we're really ready to let go of the grudge. We're really ready to work toward forgiveness. We're really ready to address the root causes of addiction. We're really ready to put our powerlessness in the face of any of these before God and offer it to God and say to God, I'm ready to let this go. I'm ready to have this die in my life. Lazarus was in the tomb, and Lazarus had died, and he had completely let go. And Jesus was there Jesus was there and said, roll away the stone. He had compassion for Lazarus all the way through. He wept for him. He wept for Mary. He wept for Martha. He weeps for us when he sees us going through the troubles that come from our own decisions and our own behaviors and the sin of the world that we can get caught in. Jesus was there, and when it was the right time, when Lazarus had let go, when Lazarus had something in Lazarus that needed to die, had died, Jesus says, roll away the stone and come out. Come out of that place of darkness. Come out of that place of despair. Come out of that place where you aren't living the life that God invites you to or calls you to. And Lazarus comes out. Lazarus shuffles out of the tomb, still bound by the bandages and the burial garments. And Lazarus, who probably like most of us once so proud, was more than willing to have assistance. More than willing now to have other human beings come in and assist him in taking off the burial clothes, in walking in those first glorious steps of new life and living the new life that God had given him. He had risen from the dead. Lent is the great time of the year when we ask ourselves, are there things in our lives that are leading us toward the tomb? Are there things in our lives that we need to let go of, that we need to die to? And we humbly place those before God. We try to place those before God so that God can work in us and transform us before we get to the tomb, before we get to the place of crisis. Sometimes it takes a crisis. Sometimes it takes bottoming out in order to get to that point. But sometimes it doesn't need to. If we can be honest with ourselves and as confident in the resurrections as Jesus was, as confident that any kind of work or any kind of effort we put into the self-knowledge and the prayer is going to pay off for us in the long run, in the life that we get ourselves, the life for God, the glory for God, and the relationships with others. Jesus probably had already been pointing to life for Lazarus because he usually does with us. Jesus is at work in us, trying to point us in the direction to nudge us and guide us. Our own free will is what often gets in the way. Our own free will that keeps us from choosing things that really give us life and pointing us in a way that really brings us to the glory of God. In fact, most of the time that people have come to me over the last 23 years that I've been a priest, really wanting transformation in their life, they already know what to do. They in the back of their mind, they already know the things where they want to be and already know what they want to do. It's simply getting to the moment where they can let go of whatever it is that keeps us, because I'm included in that, keeps them, us, me, from taking those steps and letting go and moving forward. Every Eucharist that we come to is a chance to hear Jesus say, come out of that tomb and live. Every time that we approach the sacrament of reconciliation and go into the confessional, it's a chance to let go of something, to let something die and fade in our life that's not giving us life, and to emerge resurrected out of the box, out of that experience. Let us pray that we might be on the path of life to give glory to God, always confident that whatever that road is, whether it's a road of suffering or hardship, that when we give our lives to God, when we believe in Christ and in the resurrections, it always ends up with resurrection and glory.